true of physical shade from the sun is also true of spiritual shade from life under the sun, life in a fallen world. Solomon has established that, in general, life under the sun is basically vain and vexing. And it often produces a painful sunburn as you're exposed to it day after day. When we finished last week's lesson, Solomon gave us a nail for living, and that was in verse 12, that wisdom preserves or is a defense for the life of him who has it. And verse 12 goes this way, for the protection of wisdom is like the protection of money, and the advantage of knowledge is that wisdom preserves the life of him who has it. That's from ESV. Anyone have something other than ESV, the last phrase of the verse, as to what wisdom does? Have anything besides preserve?
It says, what the excellence of knowledge is that wisdom gives life to those who have it.
Okay, gives life. The interesting thing about that word, give or preserve, is that it's most often rendered as a shade or a shadow, referring to some kind of shelter. And I think we need to understand it that way, and you'll see as we develop the lesson this morning, is that wisdom shades the life or shelters the life of him who has it. How to prevent spiritual sunburn in your life under the sun. Three thoughts this morning. The first thought is this: we need to refresh our memory of what wisdom is. Wisdom is more than intelligence. You can be very smart, very intelligent, high IQ, and lack wisdom. Smarts does not equal wisdom. Intelligence does not equal wisdom. Now, it's not a bad thing to have some smarts. We're too soon late, we're too soon old and too late smart. We need smarts. We need intelligence. But that is not wisdom. Okay? Wisdom is also more than common sense. Common sense is related to wisdom. But there's things about wisdom that's neither common nor sometimes makes sense. As we would tend to look at life. So wisdom's more than common sense. Wisdom is more than shrewd insights. Maybe you've been around people who just have insight into things. And say, wow, that person is really wise. No, not necessarily. It's more than that. What is wisdom? Well, here's the definition I've been giving you. It's wisdom is an acquired skill. That's the first thing to know about it. You're not born with wisdom. You have to acquire it. And it's a skill. It's an acquired skill of looking at things as God looks at them. Now, how are you going to acquire that skill of looking at things like God looks at them? How are you going to acquire that skill? Got to be in the Word, don't you? Because He's told us right there what wisdom is and how to live. So, by looking at things as God looks at them, we've got to be in the Word, or you're never going to develop the skill of wisdom. But there's more to it. It's not only the acquired skill of looking at things the way God looks at them, but then acting accordingly. Now, based upon what I've seen in His Word, I ought to do this. And as you do what you have seen in His Word, the Bible calls you wise. You might remember Jesus' parable that He ended the Sermon on the Mount with, about the wise man and the foolish man who built their house on a rock or sand. And the same thing happened to both of them. You know, the winds beat, the floods rose, the rain fell, and same thing happened to both of them. But the one on the rock stood, and the one on the sand was totally destroyed. Now, what was the difference between them? If you read it, you'll see that it says of both of those men, the wise man and the foolish man, Jesus says, these are those who hear my sayings. Okay? The difference between the wise man and the foolish man was not hearing what Jesus said, The wise man heard and did what he said. The foolish man heard and did not. So wisdom is more than just seeing things the way God sees them. It's also doing what we see. That's wisdom. And that's what Solomon calls a shade. When he says wisdom is a shade or shelters the life of him who has it, it's talking about the person who has developed the skill of understanding what God has revealed and then living according to what he has revealed.
Did you say wisdom is knowledge of God?
It's more than that. It has to have the knowledge of God. Just human knowledge is a very limited wisdom. And we'll address that more in a moment. But it's more than just simply knowledge. Jack? Now, the wisdom we're talking about, and the wisdom Solomon's talking about, is not what we normally think of as wisdom. He's thinking of wisdom that comes revealed from God. And particularly now we have it fully in his word, even more than Solomon had in his day. I mean, he had the Pentateuch, which is loaded with wisdom, but we've got the fulfillment of all that in Christ. And we'll touch on that more in a little bit too. So we need to keep in mind what wisdom is. If we want God's shelter and shade under the beating down of the sun of this world, I'm not talking about the thing that's in the sky, I'm talking about life in a fallen world. That's life under the sun. You've got to have wisdom, God's wisdom, and use it. So our second thought would be this. We need to recognize how vulnerable you are without this wisdom under the sun. This present age is adept at giving you painful sunburn. And this is the way it happens. We often disregard that reality. You know, it seems like every time I go to the doctor, he says, "Are you using sunscreen?" No, I'm not outside that much. Well, you should anyway. And, you know, I can ignore what he's saying, and eventually I may have to deal with the consequences of ignoring that. And sometimes that's the way it is. I mean, I was out working in the yard yesterday morning before it got too bad. I don't know if I got sunburned, but it wouldn't surprise me because I didn't put anything on. I had just a bill cap over my face. But my neck could have got burnt real easy just by disregarding that reality. We live in a place where sunburn is a common occurrence. And you live in a world that's a world of sunburn spiritually. And something else to recognize how adept this world is to give us painful burns is that it's often forgotten until the burn begins to hurt. You ever got a sunburn like that? I mean, you've been outside for a while, and it's not even hurting yet. You come back in, somebody says, "Man, your neck is red." "Oh, really?" And all of a sudden, you start to feel the burn. And then you start to feel the peeling. And you know, that's what this present age does to us. And we need to understand that. That we're vulnerable in this fallen world because we're fallen. You need to remember Solomon's oft-repeated warning about life under the sun. Vanity of vanity. All is vanity. Vexation of spirit. And he's speaking wisely there because he's looking at life as God looks at fallen life. And he's trying to warn us. And here's some questions, you know, we need to ask ourselves because we're vulnerable, and that is, why are we so prone and slow to not take this seriously? Until it accumulates to the point that our life has been damaged and it can't be repaired. We're very prone and slow to take spiritual sunburn seriously. We're also prone to think, this time it will be different. How foolish can we be? I got sunburnt before standing out there working in the yard. It won't happen this time. It's different. No, it's not different at all. And yet, we're so prone to think, this time it will be different. And you can think of it in terms of this world and the things that it offers us to allure us. And we'll say, man, I know it gave me trouble the last time, but it won't give me trouble this time. I'm in control this time, and I'm going to watch it. Why are we so prone to think it's going to be different? That we repeat the same stupid acts over and over and over. Why are we so prone to think we are better in some way? Well, I learned my lesson from that. Well, did you really? How well did you learn your lesson? Enough to not do the same thing again? Well, other people would fall into that mess, but not me. Really? You're at the point of development that you're not susceptible anymore. No, but we're prone to think that way. We need to listen and take this warning from Solomon, who's one of the wisest of humans, that life without God's wisdom is a painful experience with a wretched end. And whatever other shade you think you may have found in the wisdom of this world, it will only be limited and have temporary value. This world's wisdom will only take you so far. I mean, in terms of sunscreen, it's about a 2. You might as well not even put it on. It's limited only to certain things. Can this wisdom make you right with God? This world's wisdom? No. The world by wisdom didn't know God. It's time limited too. The wisdom of this world, what's it got to offer you at the day you die? Nothing. You're done. Put you in the hole. That's it. Well, the wisdom of this world says you'll live on in the minds of your family. Yeah, probably for a year or two. And then you'll just gradually be forgotten. If not family, at least other people. Oh, you remember him? Huh. No, not really. The wisdom of this world does not satisfy, especially at the moment of death. It will never truly preserve your life. And understand that. The only wisdom rightly defined and followed can shade and shelter you from the effects of life under the sun, and that's God's wisdom, as He sees it. You're vulnerable. Don't deny that. Don't be ignorant of that. Don't live as if it's somebody else. You are vulnerable in this world. I don't care how holy you are. You are a saint in Christ, but I don't care if you're a saint. You're subject to this world and to its sunburn. And you got to understand that. So, thought number 3, and we'll spend most of our time here, is you need to rely on wisdom, God's wisdom, for your shade and shelter from life under the sun and all its vexing pains. Since it is an acquired skill, you've got to work diligently at learning wisdom. And let's look at these verses we have listed there now. Proverbs chapter 4 and verses 4 through 13. Developing diligently the skill of wisdom. We'll start at verse 3 instead of 4. He says, when I was a son with my father, tender, the only one in the sight of my mother, he taught me and said to me, when do you need to start learning wisdom? While you're young. I thank God for His mercy in my life that I had parents who taught me God's wisdom from the time I was born. Not everyone has that privilege and blessing. But the earlier you can learn this, the better. And here's what he taught me and said to me. Let your heart hold fast my words. Keep my commandments and live. Get wisdom. Get insight. Do not forget. Do not turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her, and she will keep you. Love her and she will guard you. There's the values of diligently developing the skill of wisdom. And, you know, this is a father talking to his son. Hopefully it's a godly father talking to his son. But we have a heavenly father who does this as well, who would teach us. And we've got to learn to hold fast to his words and keep his commandments and so live. We need to get his wisdom and insight, not forget it, not turn away from it, not forsake it, because she will keep you. Love her, she will guard you. Now here it comes. The beginning of wisdom is this. Get wisdom, and whatever you get insight. Prize her highly, and she will exalt you. She will honor you if you embrace her. She will place on your head a beautiful garland. She will bestow on you a beautiful crown. Prize her. Prize her. Verse 10, hear my son and accept my words, that the years of your life may be many. And the fifth commandment was what? Remember? Honor your father and mother, that your days may be long on the earth. Folks, I think he's talking more about more than simply your 70 to 80 years on the earth. When we're talking God's wisdom enables you, your life to be eternal years. And that's why we need to give attention to it. That the years of your life may be many, not just in this world, but in the world to come. I have taught you the way of wisdom. I have led you in the paths of uprightness. When you walk, your step will not be hampered. If you run, you will not stumble. Keep hold of instruction. Do not let go. Guard her, for she is your life. You need to diligently learn the wisdom of God's words because of the benefits they will bring to your life. Proverbs chapter 9 and verse 10. Very familiar verse. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is insight. What's the fear of the Lord? Well, who's the Lord? We'll start with that. Yahweh. Does that tell you anything? Okay. Such as. What does the name Yahweh tell us? Jack? Savior. He's the one who redeems. Okay. What's the leading idea in the word Yahweh? Something before that. What was before creation? Eternal. Why should I pay attention to what he says? Because he is eternal. He had no beginning. He has no end. Why should I listen to somebody who has a beginning and an end? Well, they may have some things they can help you with, but the importance of listening to Yahweh is he knows the end from the beginning. He is the beginning. He is the end. He's eternal. There's a few other things connected with that name that were revealed at the burning bush. One is, he is the God who makes and keeps covenant. You know, people can promise you the moon, but can they deliver? Will they deliver? Yahweh, when he makes a covenant, he keeps it. Totally. If there's any failure, it's not on his part. He's the one who makes and keeps covenant. That's his covenant name. Connected with this also, he's the one who cares. Oh, I care about you. Really? Well, I try. God does more than try. He knows us. He understands us. He cares for us. Consider the lilies of the field. They toil not, neither they spin, yet Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Consider the birds of the air. They sow not nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more value than many sparrows? The very hairs of your head are numbered. He cares for his people faithfully. And he delivers them. He's the Savior. He's the one who redeems. Can you see a reason why you ought to fear him more than anybody else? And what does it mean to fear the Lord?
Respect
him. Reverence him. Fear him who can destroy both body and soul in hell. I don't have to fear God like that anymore, do I? Well, where's the plugs? There's an electrical plug. You know what that electrical plug can do for you? Not to you, for you. For you, it can run all kind of appliances to help you. But you never lose your healthy respect for what it could do to you. If you stand in a pan of water and stick a couple of wires in there, you're not going to enjoy it. And if you go against what God says in his word, even if you're his child, you're not going to enjoy it. He punishes those who are not his. He chastens those who are his. There's a difference between punishment and chastening. Punishment is what he does to those who are not his. Chastening is what he does to those who are, to improve them and develop them. Jack? Okay. Yeah. So yeah, there, in the fear of God, we need to respect him for all that he can do for us, that nothing else can do. And we reverence him for that. But we also have a nice, healthy fear of what he could do to us. Because he's God and we're not. So the fear of the Lord, that's the beginning of wisdom. Now, if you're going to develop wisdom, that's where you need to start. Do you rightly understand who he is and who you are in relationship to him? If you haven't come to that point yet, you don't have wisdom. Now, the beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. Then he says, and the knowledge of the Holy is, or the Holy One is insight. If you ever have the opportunity, R.C. Sproul has a series on the holiness of God, which is probably one of the best things that he's ever done in his ministries. If you don't have access to R.C. Sproul's video series, just read the scriptures and contemplate the holiness of God. He's wholly other than anything else. We need to understand that. There's nothing that is comparable to him. And he is infinitely above anything we can comprehend. That's part of the holiness of God. He's also infinitely pure. He never sins. And we need to contemplate that because that's wisdom. And to seek by his grace to develop that same quality in our life. We live in a time, folks, when it's getting harder and harder to distinguish who's a Christian in this world, in one sense. So many people claim to be Christian. They don't have a clue as to what a Christian is and what a Christian does because they don't know the Holy One. We need to know the Holy One. And that knowledge ought to transform the way we live our lives. You don't have to go around dressed like you're in mourning or ready for the undertaker. God laughs. God's filled with joy. And we should be filled with joy too, but we ought to be filled with all seriousness of life. That it's crucial that you don't get sunburned by this world. Another verse in Proverbs, Proverbs 19, in verse 8. Whoever gets sense loves his own soul. He who keeps understanding will discover good. You love your own soul? Only to the degree that you get wisdom. If you don't get wisdom, you don't love your own soul. Now, if you don't put on sunscreen, you don't love your body enough to protect it. Whoever gets sense loves his own soul. He who keeps understanding will discover good. Let's go now to the New Testament. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 30. Here's a whole chapter about wisdom of this world versus the wisdom of God. If we start at verse 18, he says, "For the word of the cross, or the message of the cross, is folly to those who are perishing. But to us who are being saved, it's the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the discernment of the discerning I will thwart." I don't need the shadow of the cross in my life. That's foolishness. No, that's the wisdom and power of God. Where is the one who is wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world did not know God through wisdom, and the wisdom he's talking about there is not the wisdom that comes from God, he's talking about the wisdom that comes from this world. The world did not know God through wisdom. It pleased God through the folly of what we preach to save those who believe. For Jews demand signs and Greeks seek wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to the Jews and folly to the Gentiles. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God, for the foolishness of God is wiser than men. Does God have any foolishness? Only in the eyes of men. And what men consider foolish about God is wiser than anything they can imagine in their own wisdom. Well, the verse we want to really bring you to is verse 30. He says, He... that's God, is the source of your life in Christ Jesus, whom God made our wisdom. So we have an advantage today that Solomon only saw in a shadow. And that is, where is wisdom found? For you, Christian, where is wisdom found? More. In Christ. Who is the living Word of God. And the only way you know the living Word of God is by knowing the written Word of God. You see that? God made him our wisdom. For me to know how to live in this world, I need to know Christ and him crucified. I need to know the message of the cross, or you'll not survive the sunburn of this world and the eternal hell that follows. Colossians chapter 2 and verses 1 through 3. He says, "For I want you to know how great a struggle I have for you and for those at Laodicea, and for all who have not seen me face to face, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love, to reach all the riches of full assurance of understanding and the knowledge of God's mystery, which is in Christ." Now watch this. "In whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge." Everything you need to know to live in this world is found where? in Christ. But notice an interesting word there. It says, in whom are hidden. What's that mean in regard to what you're responsible to do? You got to search for it, don't you? Something is hidden, you got to look for it. And sometimes you have to look for it very diligently, or you'll overlook it. How well do you know Jesus Christ? How much time are you spending in your life to get to know Him? Now, if you're using sunscreen in this world, do you read the directions? Oh, it doesn't matter. Well, if you're going to use it correctly, you better know what you're using and know how to use it. How much more is that true of Christ, whom God has made to us wisdom and has placed in Him all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge? How much time do we spend really getting to know Christ? That'll determine how bad you get sunburned in this world, or how well you're preserved from the sunburn of this world. When you can do something in life, be sure to do it according to wisdom, in leaving and avoiding all else. Yeah. If you remember some of the advertising, Ford has a better idea. The world's going to come along and say, I got a better idea than spending time trying to figure out who Jesus is. No, they don't. And Christianity has changed in America over the years. And this is not your father's Christianity. Remember the Oldsmobile commercial? This is not your father's Oldsmobile. Now, we've got newfangled ideas today that surpass spending time in the Scriptures getting to know Christ. We're in the instant age. Leave and avoid all else. Pursue and heed Him in all things. You know, it's too bad that that phrase was misunderstood and basically has been forgotten, WWJD. Maybe it should have been WDJD. What did Jesus do? Are you doing what Jesus did in terms of the time He spent with His Father? Something to think about, isn't it? We need to pursue and heed everything we can about Him in our life. When you can't do anything, okay? And there'll be plenty of these times that will come in your life. When you can't do anything, be sure you take refuge in God's wisdom, in God Himself, in Christ. And the Psalms are just filled with ideas like this. Look at these with me. Psalm 17. In verses 9 and 10. Verse 8. He says, keep me as the apple of your eye. Hide me in the shadow of your wings from the wicked who do me violence. My deadly enemies who surround me, they close their hearts to pity. With their mouths they speak arrogantly. Hide me in the shadow of your wings. There's times that's the only prayer you can make, isn't it? I'm not sufficient for those who would come against me. Hide me in the shadow of your wings. Psalm 36. Verses 7 and 8. How precious is your steadfast love, O God. The children of mankind take refuge in the shadow of your wings. They feast on the abundance of your house, and you give them drink from the river of your delights. For with you is the fountain of life, and in your light do we see light.
How precious is your steadfast love. The Hebrew word there is hesed. And it's very hard to translate into English. Sometimes it's loving kindness. Sometimes, like here in my version, it's steadfast love. The current idea of understanding it is its covenant loyalty. I think that speaks a lot. How precious is your covenant loyalty, O God. The children of mankind take refuge in the shadow of your wings. Flee to Him. And what do you find there in the shadow of His wings? Verse 8, they feast on the abundance of your house. You give them drink with the river of your delights. River. Not just a cupful. For with you is the fountain of life, and in your light do we see light. Take shelter in Him. When you've done everything you can do and there's nothing else left to do and you're feeling the burning of the sun, take your shelter in Him. Psalm 57 and verse 1. I have read this verse many times over a hospital bed. Well, not over the bed, over the person that was in the bed. Be merciful to me, O God, be merciful to me. For in you my soul takes refuge. In the shadow of your wings I will take refuge till the storms of destruction pass by. Have you ever heard that song? Keep me safe till the storm passes by. It comes from this verse. In the shadow of your wings I will take refuge till the storms of destruction pass by. That's the only place of perfect safety. Till a storm passes by. My favorite Bible verse many times, and I've used it over the last month a few times, is, and so it came to pass. Take shelter in His wings until it passes. It's the only safe place. Psalm 63 and verse 7. We'll start at verse 5. He says, my soul will be satisfied as with fat and rich food, and my mouth will praise you with joyful lips. When I remember you upon my bed, and meditate on you in the watches of the night, for you have been my help, and in the shadow of your wings I will sing for joy. My soul clings to you. Your right hand upholds me. Now remember verse 8 in about an hour. My soul clings to you. What's good? Cling to the good. No, cling to Him. In the shadow of your wings, I will sing for joy. You can't sing for joy anywhere else, folks. The things of this world that promise you so much will take your song of joy away. It will be short-lived. You have been my help, and in the shadow of your wings I will sing for joy. My soul clings to you. Psalm 91. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to Yahweh, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. For He will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with His pinions, and under His wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and buckler. You will not fear the terror of the night, nor the arrows that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in darkness, nor the destruction that wastes at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. you will only look with your eyes and see the recompense of the wicked. Because you have made the Lord your dwelling place, the Most High, who is my refuge, no evil shall be allowed to befall you, no plague come near your tent. You've got to learn to dwell and abide under the shadow of the Almighty. You ever heard of a man by the name of Jim Elliot? Do you know the name of his biography that his wife wrote? Under the Shadow of the Almighty. She got it from this. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. He lost his life. His going there. The world told him it didn't make sense. Now, you've got so many gifts and abilities. Why are you wasting your life going to a people that could care less about your God? You're wasting your life, Jim Elliot and the rest of those men. Was their life wasted? I don't think so. It resulted in multitudes of those people being converted. And probably Jim Elliot's most familiar quote is, "He is no fool who gives what he can't keep to gain what he can't lose." That's God's wisdom, folks. That's not the wisdom of this world. He's abiding under the shadow of the Almighty now and forever. My God, in whom I trust. They had guns, and they never fired one shot. And their intent, if they fired guns, was simply to fire over their heads so that it would scare them and they'd flee and leave them alone. They didn't even do that. He died. Yeah. He died trusting in the one who shelters him. Isaiah chapter 25. Here's a neat one that's familiar, but we're probably more familiar with verse 3, but it finishes with verse 4. Isaiah 25. Oops, I was thinking 26. We'll look at that one too. Isaiah 25, verse 4. For you have been a stronghold to the poor, a stronghold to the needy in his distress, a shelter from the storm and a shade from the heat. For the breath of the ruthless is like a storm against a wall, like heat in a dry place. You subdue the noise of the foreigners as heat by the shade of a cloud, so the song of the ruthless is put down. That's what God does for his people. Look at the next chapter, verse 3. The one that's so familiar. It says, "You keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord God is an everlasting rock." Strength. It's a blessing in the climate in which we have to have shade from the sun for your body. But how much more blessed is shade for your whole being from the vain and vexing experiences of life under the sun? We need to make God's wisdom, we need to make Christ our shade, our protector. Learn about him more and more and trust in him more and more. Do what you can and what you can't do. Flee to him and take shelter under his wings. There is nothing else that is able to give you lasting help. That's wisdom. Let's pray. Father in heaven, what a miserable world we made of this by our sin. And now generation after generation reaps the sunburn of life under the sun. How thankful we are, Father, that you and your grace have made provision for us. in your wisdom that you have revealed to us in the Scriptures, and now especially, Father, in Christ. Help us to realize, Father, that He is the one alone who can give us that protection that we need from life under the sun. May we desire to honor Him in our life, to learn more about Him, to draw upon Him for every need that we have. Father, we pray that as we do, that You will give us that song of joy that will be perpetuated throughout all eternity. How thankful we are that You have made Him unto us our wisdom. You have hidden in Him all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. May we as Your people be diligent in seeking to learn that wisdom and to apply it to our daily living for our good and for Your glory, in Jesus' name. Amen.